Great Kohan Betsy L. Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom. You may be seated. Welcome to the great Sabbath of Yahweh. I know our students over there think I can just go on and talk for an hour, but I don't have that much time today, so we're going to get right into it, so pay attention. And if I have time at the end of the sermon, I'll hopefully give you a story to help you endure as a youth in the house of Yahweh. I want you to think back to the story of Eob, Yashub, or Job, as he's known to the world. And I want you to think about the trials and tribulations that he went through. And I think that, you know, through his, he went through this trial and suffering, and in the end, Yahweh rewarded him greater than in the beginning. And he died of an old age, full and satisfied of life. And I think some people, as I thought that Yashub was great and successful after his suffering, like a reward for having endured the hard times, like winning the lottery or finding a pot of treasure after a life of poverty. But I think it's more realistic to realize that through his suffering, because Yahweh says, through your suffering, you'll inherit your life, that Yahweh taught him through suffering the things that he needed to know and practice to become successful through his later choices and right actions in his later life. Because that's how Yahweh works. He satisfied the conditions to receive the blessings. And today I'd like to touch on three of those conditions: obedience, your training, and your endurance. It's our obedience that's being tested today to see which way we will choose to live, which way we'll continue to choose. Now, the troubles that we're dealing with in the world today is the result of people's choosing. I'd like you to turn over with me to 1 Samuel chapter 8, page 228. 1 Samuel chapter 8, starting in verse 5. And here we know the story here where the people came to Samuel and they said, "Appoint us a king to judge us just like all the other nations." In verse 7, Yahweh answered Samuel. He says, "Listen to the words of the people. They have not rejected you, but they've rejected me." So here we see an example of the people's choosing. And it's the same thing that we see today. Continuing in verse 9. So Samuel went on to warn them. And he said, "This is how the king you desire to reign over you will behave. He will take your sons and appoint some of them to serve with his chariots. Some will drive his chariot horses and others will run in front of his chariots." These are arms of war. And you know, if you read on here, it's against the sons and the daughters. Everyone gets involved in serving this unjust king, sending him to war and creating a multitude of problems. In verse 20, the people persisted and they said, "We want to be just like all the other nations." And don't we even see that from out of the house of Yahweh at times when people say, "We want to be like all the other people," and they go out into the world. "We want a king to judge us and to lead us in our battles." You see how they've already turned to war here? "This is the way you have chosen, mankind, and this is why we suffer today." It's not Yahweh's fault. In fact, Samuel warned them twice there. And now here we are at the end of, in the last days, still suffering from these choices. Yahweh's way is the right way. But my question to you today is, do you really want it? Do you really want the way of Yahweh in your life? Let's look at Exodus 20. In the beginning of the laws, and this is even the Ten Commandments, but also in the beginning of the 613 laws of peace for all nations, here we see law number one. Yahweh believe in Yahweh as the only source of power in the universe. Positive law number one. Now, in Exodus 20, in verse 2, Yahweh proclaims, I am Yahweh, your heavenly Father. Right here, he is accepting responsibility as your Father. And with that responsibility, he is saying that he accepts the responsibility of taking care of you, to watching over you. Believe in Yahweh is the only source of power. This is Yahweh who brought you out of the land of Egypt. He has delivered us out of sin. Only Yahweh can do that. So he does that through his laws. And this is the source of power that is in Yahweh, is his laws. Only source of power that delivers us is Yahweh's laws. Now let's go over to Exodus 33. Exodus 33 and verse 19. Here he's speaking to Moshe, and he says, Yahweh says, I will make all my righteousness pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, Yahweh, in your presence. Now notice the authority of which Yahweh speaks here. He says, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. You see, it's by Yahweh's will alone that he extends this blessing to us. In the Peaceful Solution 613 Laws of Peace for All Nations book, on page 11, I quote, Yahweh alone has the power to grant anyone salvation and an abundant life in the everlasting kingdom of Yahweh. We must acknowledge that Yahweh is the only lawgiver. Yahweh alone sets the conditions in his laws for receiving eternal life. I ask you again, do you really want the way of Yahweh in your life? We need to show Yahweh that. Are you willing to find that way? Because we do have to seek it out. We have to look for it. We have to work for it. In Exodus 34, down the page, verse 6, Yahweh passed in front of him, Moshe, and proclaimed, Yahweh, Yahweh Almighty, merciful and compassionate. If you desire to receive mercy, if you desire compassion, you must look to Yahweh to provide it, because only he has the power to bring that to us. And don't think that you're going to go off and get it on your own without the rest of us. We're going to receive this together as a body. Please turn over to Isaiah 46. Praise Yahweh. Isaiah 46, page 560. Here's an account of a judgment on those who practiced iniquity and trusted in their kings. There's nothing wrong with a king if he is taught the laws of Yahweh and rules in justice and in equity. But here in Isaiah 46, in verse 9, remember the former things of old. I am Yahweh, there is none else. I am Yahweh, there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning and the ancient times from those things which are not yet done. Saying, my counsel will stand, and I will fulfill all my plan. Now, over to chapter 47 and verse 8. Therefore, hear this now, you who are given to pleasures. Oh, how we do seek the pleasures. But we need to evaluate our lives. Who dwell carelessly with overconfidence to say in your heart, I am. You remember when Satan said that too? Trying to take the seat of Yahweh. But Yahweh said he is. He said, I am. And here they try to overtake that authority. And there is none else other than me. I will not sit as a widow, nor will I know the loss of children. But these two things will come upon you in a moment, in one day. The loss of children and widowhood, they will come upon you in their perfection, full measure, because of the multitude of your sorceries and because of the great abundance of your enchantments. For you have trusted in your wickedness, and you have said, none see me. Your wisdom and your knowledge have perverted you. And you have said in your heart, I am, and there is none else other than me. Therefore, evil will come upon you. You will not know where it arises from. And isn't that how it is today? And they're searching and looking. Where is this evil coming from? And trouble will fall upon you. You will not be able to put it off. And desolation will come upon you suddenly, which you will not foresee. Stand fast now. Let's see. Go to verse 15. With your enchantments and the multitude of your sorceries in which you have labored from your youth, it may be that you will succeed. It may be you will prevail or cause terror. You are wearied in the multitude of your counsels. Let now the astrologers, the stargazers, and the monthly prognosticators stand up and save you from these things which will come upon you. Behold, they will be like stubble. The fire will burn them. They'll not deliver themselves from the power of the flame. There will not be a coal to warm them, nor a fire to sit before. That is all they will be to you, those with whom you have labored, and your merchants from your youth. They will each one wander to his quarter. None will save you. Yahweh will save his people. But there's nothing in this world where you can find salvation from anything. This is the misery that they're suffering even now in these last days. What is our response to those people? What is our response to the foolish actions of disobedient and ignorant people? Is it anger and hatred towards that person? You've turned to war, if that's the case. Or do we truly love the laws that bring a solution to the problems, to correct the problems? So I implore you to become an expert in those laws that help others. Become an expert in the peaceful solution that will teach and educate those people how to make right choices, how to respect one another, how to respect all life, and to seek it at Yahweh's house. Find ways to inspire and teach others. But more importantly, know where you stand. And stand confident and firm in the righteousness that you know and believe and have learned. Because you've learned how to behave. And you can stand with that confidence knowing you know the answers. You know how to help others when they're willing to listen in the right time. You remember the deciding factor? We studied this recently in our classes. It's to love the laws. Yahweh will see that you truly love the laws. But these laws and holiness have been under attack for the last 6,000 years, at least, in all of mankind's existence since Cain. The one side says, you're free to choose. It's your life. Make your own choice, as long as it's free from the law. Remember back in Genesis 3, where Satan's great lying deception to Eve, and Eve said, these are the things we must not do. And Satan said, oh, that's not true. That's, you won't die. You can do both of these and know both ways. Yahweh's side says, choose law. Beginning in the plan of Yahweh from the very beginning, as we saw in, Yochanan 1 verse 1, and you should have this memorized, but in the beginning was the plan, and the plan was with Yahweh. The beginning is the origin, and this is where we need to examine every part of our life and see that whether or not we're meeting this standard. If we're looking to Yahweh with all our might and all our ability to get back to that original that Yahweh provided from the beginning. And I know we can't achieve that fully at this time because the earth is defiled. But this is where our thinking needs to be working with Pastor towards restoring these basics. One of the things that's an issue in our lives in these last days is health. And we know from the beginning that Yahweh created us properly. He created us perfect, ability for the body to create us, to heal itself. And one of the things that is kind of a blanket statement is the autoimmune diseases. And many of the diseases, I remember first hearing about this back in the 80s when AIDS started out, and they called it an autoimmune disease. And that basically, autoimmune basically means that the body attacks itself as if foreign. The immune system attacks itself as if foreign. So what is it in the body that's foreign? Well, if we put unclean things into the body, isn't that foreign? And since the body was designed to heal, if it has everything that Yahweh created for it, it should be able to heal. Today, the world chooses to treat the symptoms with drugs. Do you realize that by adding one drug more to a current drug that a person's taking increases the side effects 20-fold? Drugs don't repair the original substance of your body. In fact, many deplete the nutrients in the and inhibit the original processes and functions that Yahweh created in us. Disease can come as a result of the lack of the that original substance that Yahweh created for us, or for the original design. And in our genes, that they can become corrupted not only by the environment, but an environment of sin produces gene-altering thoughts. Even scientists have realized now that our thoughts, even the foods we eat, talk to the genes. And our actions alter our genes, which means that we have some control in this. If we're living by Yahweh's laws, because every part of our life is governed by Yahweh's laws. If we're living by Yahweh's laws, we can start to change this. But if not, we could be on a long path of consequences from those violations. So each of us needs to take personal responsibility to be training ourselves, to be learning how to respect ourselves, our bodies, to educate ourselves, listening to what Pastor has taught you for many years now. I don't have time to go into it today, but you go back and you hear the things that Pastor has given us. Now we have radiation and environment to deal with. We've got a planet and a sea full of plastics that mimic hormones in our body to disrupt our systems, even our reproductive systems. And if you will take heed to what Pastor has taught us in these simple things, within those things that he's brought, and I can't bring them all out now, but the simple things, I have gone back and looked at these, and in every single one of them, is a benefit to help us get through these last days. It doesn't take a lot of fancy stuff, but there are things that we still deal with, and this gets to our endurance. We need to educate ourselves by seeking Yahweh's will through counsel. We need to work at it. We need to overcome. We have the Feast of Trumpets coming up, which blows the trumpets and gets our attention. Something is a coming. And so we need to get back to Yahweh original as much as possible. We need to show Yahweh that's what we want. Praise Yahweh. Now, on to enduring. I'm going to go over to Psalm chapter 1. Many years ago, when I was very young, I was in an auditorium, and it was like a theater. It was the lighting was subdued, and they had a stage, like our old stage here. And there was many people there. And I remember this is when a song left an impression upon my mind. And I know I was very young because a little while after this, my sister took me into another big room with lots of windows and it was brightly lit and put me on a table and changed my diaper. So this was maybe 49 years ago. And they sang this song, and it was taken from the book of Psalms, chapter 1. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the unrighteous, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor who sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of Yahweh, and in his law he meditates day and night. And I encourage you to read the rest of that. But for the sake of time, some years later, when I came to the house of Yahweh, I'll get to that in a moment. Let's go over to Proverbs chapter 22. There was something that was very important to my mother in bringing me up, and that was here in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he'll not depart from it. So when I came to the house of Yahweh, I came to the first service. It was the Feast of Pentecost. And we sat in the back when this back was over here. And the speaker came out, introduced the song leader. At that time, we had a song in the morning. And he said, open your... He or she said, open your songs of praise to Yahweh to page 1. And I thought, well, I don't have a songbook, so I'm going to be a little lost here. And they started the music, and I thought, hey, I recognize that. Now, a little bit of this sermon is about overcoming, and one of the things I've always feared is singing in public. So I'm going to overcome with you. And so they started singing this song. Blessed and joyful is the man who does never walk astray. I about came out of my skin. I know this song. Some of the words are different. But I know this song, and I sang with all the members of the house of Yahweh. And I turned to my wife to my left, and I said, we're home. Praise Yahweh. So, parents, this is our job to train up our children. And remember in 1 Yochanan, chapter 3, verse 7, he who practices righteousness is righteous. Pastor inspired me for this sermon a couple of weeks ago, and I wrote down some notes when he was speaking. Obey the priest, else you are as rebellious as witchcraft. Follow the laws to the best of your ability and endure in that thing. Endure. Train up a child in the way he should go. From my first recall, nearly 50 years ago, let me tell you something about children, young children. Like I said, I was very young. They know what's going on. They just haven't made sense of it all, and they don't know what it means to them. But they're aware of what's going on, and the feast is a big deal. They're looking forward to it. And that becomes a joy to them, not only when they serve, because we're teaching them how to serve, but when you serve them, and when we prepare the sanctuary, when we prepare the messages. And in a few minutes, we're going to be taught and educated some more. The children really look forward to this. So strive to make it a joy and a blessing to them. It's an important thing that we endure. In Matithia chapter 10, there's this message and encouragement to us. Matithia chapter 10, verse 22. Because right now we're enduring the results of sin. And you'll be hated above all men for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end will be saved. We're experiencing the hatred that's produced from sin. And until Yahweh delivers us, whatever our situation may be, whatever condition we're in, we strive our best to repair the situation, to work it out through prayer, fasting, counsel, whatever we can do. But we know there's a limit to what we can do at times. And we look to Yahweh for His mercy to deliver us, to His compassion to deliver us. And so whatever situation you find yourself in, having done all you can do to stand, endure in that thing to the end. And we must endure in this work, because the work must be accomplished, and it must be done with us, with you. It will not be done for us, but you will receive help at the proper time when we are involved with the work. So continue to endure, and may Yahweh bless your understanding. If you please stand. It's my pleasure to turn the services over now to the great Kohan Zefani Hawkins. Praise Yahweh.
Hello, everyone. Please be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. This morning, we pretty much have the news on Syria, which is, it begins with, they call it the President's Case for Battle, and it's Secretary of State John Kerry. And I find it ironic that the same man who is negotiating the peace treaty in Jerusalem is the same man that's advocating for war against Syria. It fits perfectly. But notice the language they use, because they call it a case for battle, and the man speaks like he's a prosecutor in a criminal case. I feel like I'm in court when I watch these things, but this is what they're coming up with right now, is a judgment of man. This is the judgment of man. Man's making a judgment that we're going to solve this problem by lobbing these missiles. And just like they do in these courts, they decide they're going to solve a problem by throwing someone in jail. All they do is create more problems, and that's what they're going to do here. They've got a 1 week political window of opportunity for doing this, because Congress is in recess, and they mention this. And they don't mention this part, but the big advantage to this is no one has to take the blame. They can all be home and they can say, well, we wanted them to vote, but we were home, so we didn't vote. So this is the perfect time for this, and the new moon is about right. The moon is about right. It's dark. So, it could occur any time starting, say, 8 p.m. tonight, our time, or 6 p.m. And then we have Russia saying that U.S. action in Syria would violate international law and it would be unacceptable. And Iran, the next thing is Iran says it would vow to destroy or attack Israel immediately and destroy it immediately, and they would close the Strait of Hormuz, which would result in a 20% reduction in world oil production. So let's play the news. Everyone, please stand. The greatest teacher in the world, the great Kohan Israel Hawkins!
Great. Okay, let's make it big now. Everybody's awake. You awake? Praise Yahweh.
You may be seated.
It's a wonderful day. We have we see the world going down, the world's present Satan's government's going down, and Yahweh's house rising. He's lifting us up. We have the greatest opportunity ever in mankind's history. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. I woke up this morning thinking about this, and I got to the sanctuary and unloaded and I ran still out of breath from all that running. I ran down to the cafeteria to get my bread. I ran, 30 miles an hour. 10 maybe, or almost. and they went to the bakery, and they said it was closed. You're late. I said, well, where's my bread? Try the cafeteria. So I ran over there right quick. And they said, I think that was discarded. We didn't think you were coming. I said, that's only 1 minute late. It's 1 minute. And then they went inside, and they found this in the... And they brought it back to me, and I saw the words, Yisrael, act your age. I said, man, somebody, I really made somebody angry. Well, I took it back to my office, and I got to looking at it, and it says, Yisrael, act your age, 80, and bring my people home to Abel. I said that message had to come straight from Yahweh. I thought that was beautiful. Well, as you can see in the news, things are proceeding the way Yahweh prophesied they would. The teachers next Sabbath, I'm speaking of the new priestly teachers. New priestess teachers, we're going to have several for this feast. Next Sabbath, we'll be teaching the four and five-year-olds. If you're 4 and 5 year olds, they're going to have a class for you, a special class in the Blue School, right over this way, the Blue School from 9 to 9:30 a.m. Don't be late. The new teachers will be teaching you. These are the latest songs. They're going to be teaching you the latest songs. It's not yet, you haven't heard yet, unless you've been had your ear to the wall where they're practicing. But these songs will be introduced this feast. But the 4 and 5 year olds will be able to learn those songs, at least part of them this Sabbath, and then part of them the next Sabbath, and the third Sabbath, you will know those songs if you'll attend those three meetings. You 4 and 5 year old boys. Now, the girls are the same. Oh, wait, still got more boys here. The 6 to 11 year old boys will be in the priest or elders room, as we call it, meeting room, the new one, the big one. They'll be taught the same thing, but by a different teacher, one of the new teachers, but by a different teacher. Same thing, and you know that song. I could not get anyone on the women's side to answer their phones. So you'll have to ask somebody. I don't know. I know they got it set up for the 4 and 5 year old girls, with one of the new priestess teachers to be priestess. And also they got it set up for the 6 to 11 years old. And I would suggest that you contact Deacon Yisraelia Hawkins for next Sabbath. But be there and learn these songs. That is really precious. Praise Yahweh. Stats. Now this News article, "There is a way to bring peace to all nations," says Israel Hawkins. I just wrote this thing, and it's still somewhat of a mystery, but newspapers are grabbing it, several. It says 96 already. It was just just released this morning. It says stats have just became available, and this number is already on the screen and increasing every few minutes. 96 newspapers has picked that up and running it already. Wonderful. Yahweh works in mysterious ways. The article, "There is a way to bring peace to all nations." This one interesting me because this is a health magazine that's running this. Health Technology. I'm glad to see this because I've noticed that they're running more and more of these articles. And maybe we can get the information to the world through the news media, you know, that the sick minds, we got sick minds out here. Watch List News, these are some of the bigger ones that sent me, and I don't have time to read them, it's several pages. Street Insider News. That's just three of 96. "The world has nothing now on which they can agree." If you notice this news that we just brought you now, there's a lot of controversy. Of course, this war was planned, as you know already. We've brought this out from prophecy, and those prophecies are going to be fulfilled. But the way it's proceeding, of course, they're getting a lot of opposition. Some of the countries that were allied to this agreement to bring these nations under control that's being acted upon now and brought about by force. Force has never worked, but they want to try again. If you remember, the Roman Empire took over the entire world, but they never once had peace. There's nothing in history that shows they ever had peace. And, of course, they kept passing more laws and killing more people and thousands, some historians say trillions. The global front being formed against war on Syria now, against the war on Syria. Well, everything was go for it for a while until they got to seeing all this opposition, and then they started crawfishing, as it's called. Germany rules out joining strike on Syria. This won't stop this from taking place by any means. This is going to take place, and of course the nuclear wars are going to come into effect. What we see here, we see the health and the activities that is taking place in the everyday lives of the people. They go hand in hand. The health and the activities are going hand in hand. That and the curses of the sickness, disease, hatred, violence, and wars are all connected and are bringing about the end of man's governments of and by the people. Now, if you got that, you'll understand what I want to try to get over to you today in these articles and also the prophecies concerning Syria, of course, and back then and present day Syria. But these things that we're seeing here that's bringing about the health problems all over the world. I guess you noticed yesterday they're putting a warning label on Tylenol. There's so many drugs out there that's affecting the brain, and people don't realize it. Of course, the states are opening up marijuana now, and because they see, not because they say, think it's healthy, they know it's terribly unhealthy. They think, well, we can't make them any sicker than they already are, but this will bring more money to the doctors, and more money to the lawyers, and more money for taxes. Because if we open this up, the marijuana sales, make it legal, then we can charge taxes on it. It's being sold under the table now, and of course has been for years, but the government is missing the taxes. The cities are missing their share of the taxes. So if we make it legal, then we can charge taxes, and we can bring in scoops of money like we did on the alcohol and cigarettes. This article here is very interesting because it says, is there any such thing as organic honey? What would that have to do now with the price of eggs in China? And what would it have to do with the wars in Syria, or your life, for instance? Is there any such thing as organic honey? The traps to watch out for when you're buying honey. I'm going to lay that aside right there because we're going to come back to that. Cocaine. Now, of course, people have eaten that stuff for years, and they don't realize what they're doing to themselves. They haven't for years because they haven't had the instruments to see what they're seeing now. But now they are seeing with their instruments, of course, some of the things the Scripture shows, that if you eat pork, you know, you have the trichinosis to deal with. You have a brain that's going to be depleted from what this does to the human brain. So you'll not be able to think as clearly to do your search work to find out what's wrong with your brain. Now, I'm talking about the entire world. What occurs to you or to the average Joe walking down the street is taking place in Washington, in their thoughts and actions and so forth. The more confusion that comes about in man's brain, the more confusion we will see coming forth from the nations. All the nations were for this, or many. 22 nations were signed up to back the United States in this raid on Syria. And now there's quite a number that's pulled out. Britain crawfished out this week. And so did Germany and a few others, as you saw in the news clips here. But it's going to take place. It makes no difference how many of them backs out. You know, this war is coming. Nuclear war is coming. Well, we see here cocaine targets learning. That's one thing that marijuana targets also. The same effects that you get from cocaine, you get from marijuana. And people who are smoking marijuana, they'll say, oh, I've smoked this for 25 years. And what was I going to say here? Well, you know, it does ruin your brain. As pork, eating pork also affects your brain, so does marijuana, so does cocaine. So they're saying now, the new evidence, the new research, because we've got new tools, knowledge has been increased through the computer. Too bad we couldn't get it into the brain as well. But the brain is going downhill while our computers are coming up all the time. They're getting faster and gathering, we're able to store more and more information, more and more knowledge. Knowledge has been increased. since my birthday. I'm now as old as Moses was, as Moshe was, when Yahweh said, go gather the people. But cocaine targets learning, targets decision making. Now, cocaine is, it makes you feel like you're king of the universe, I'm told. I've never touched the stuff, never intend to. I can't say I've never smoked marijuana, because they had marijuana in our classrooms when I was a young man, young and stupid, and went on the police department. And they said, take a puff of this and find out what it smells like. Well, I was very careful not to inhale it, but I did smell it. I smelled it in several people's cars after that. And I warned them, this stuff can ruin your brain. What are you talking about? What I smell in your car can ruin your brain. It maybe already has, or I wouldn't have had to stop you and tell you you was going twice the speed limit. You know, well, that's marijuana for you. But cocaine targets the learning. It makes you, it gets you to where you can't learn. And the more you take of it, the more you use it, the more you get hooked on it, and you can't get rid of it. You can't stop it. You can't quit the use of it. A very close friend of mine used it. The doctors put him on it because he had a back injury, and it took away the pain and made him feel great. He kept wanting to quit it because it caused other side effects, but the doctors told him, don't try to get off of this now, cold turkey. It will cause your heart to stop. Well, finally, he said, I'm not going to take this stuff any longer. He laid down on the floor on his back, determined to quit, determined not to take any more of it, and he jerked about 3 or 4 times, his mother said, and then he found his rest. It targets learning. It targets your brain. It can shut it down. It can shut down your heart also. Decision making. How many people in Washington or the Washingtons throughout the whole world, the governments, the municipal systems, how many people have the doctors put on this stuff? You know, it's one of their most honored drug killers, I mean pain relievers. It's one of their most honored feel-good actions, pills, because when people take it, they say, you know, they have no problems at all. Man, nothing bothers them. Oh, man, I'm feeling great. I think I'm well. I think I'm healed. I'll go back and see that quack preacher again. Let him pray for me again. I thought that must have been what occurred. It must have healed me. Well, of course, it decision-making and spots. It actually spots the brain. To where, now, I don't know if you understand how the brain functions, but and it's impossible to describe, it's impossible for you to know right now. But we have learned certain things. It works similar to a computer, but it works in so many different fields in your brain, so many different cells, and each one of them doing a certain job. And if one can't do a job, then it relies on another department to take up where that one leaves off. Well, that other department, I can show you, I can describe how this reacts. If you're used to using your right hand to brush your teeth, try doing it with your left hand. Now, you'll see how your brain functions there, because your brain takes time. Well, if that spot is knocked out in your brain, which cocaine does, marijuana does, it knocks out different spots in your brain that's supposed to work and make your hands work, these drugs and marijuana and cocaine. Yes, they relieve pain, but they make spots in your brain that helps you to use your right hand. And if you miss the use of your right hand and try to use your left one, you will see how long it takes to train that brain to do something. And marijuana or cocaine, just the use of it, can knock out the use of your right hand. It can knock out the use of thousands of right hands in your brain that you use for everyday thinking and decision making. Cocaine can change the structure of learning and memory spots in the brain only within few hours of taking the drug. And they put these people on this stuff, and they keep them on it for years. Well, that's one thing now that shows the confusion that we're facing in the nations. The nations can't make up their mind. They have nothing that they can agree on. There's nothing in what they're doing here that would bring about any sensible thing that say, well, yeah, let's hit a cereal. Let's knock them out. That'll solve our problems. Well, any fool can see it's not going to solve their problems. Knocking out Iraq, invading Afghanistan, did that solve our problems? But we're wanting to do it again. It's not going to solve our problems, and me telling them this won't solve their problems either, because they're not going to repent. The preachers are saying, oh, that's all hogwash, you know. But the fact is, none of these things are working. They're groping in the dark for an answer. Now, the Pope says if we do this, then we can get this all under control. We'll wipe out the religions, all the religions except the Catholic Church. You know, someone looked back. I don't know how many remember this, but I brought a sermon on war in the Middle East back 20 years ago, I think it was, in the old sanctuary in town that's now the press room. And they sent me a disc, and I listened to it last night. I'm going to play it maybe sometime during the feast if we can get up to that point. But it's talking about what is taking place right now. And I was so amazed. I couldn't remember it. I didn't recognize the guy's voice. My voice has changed so much. You're going to laugh when you hear my voice on that tape. But all of these things are taking place. They're going to take place. Everything's developing just like the Scripture shows it would. And it's being brought about by confused minds. Now, if you take away decision-making, you got thousands of decision-making cells in your brain. Got trillions of them. And I don't know if you could number the decision-making mechanisms that Yahweh put in your brain. That right there. It would take trillions. See the way I'm moving my finger? Just that one finger? It takes trillions of activities in your brain to perform that. You saw the football players. That's another thing that can damage your brain. We were working on finding exercising because a little exercise helps. A little. And I want to make the schools here the most enjoyable schools on earth. Here at the house of Yahweh. So, praise Yahweh. And we're going to. And the students are working with me to find the ways to do this. But yet, learning is going to be the top thing. Learning the laws and the prophecies of Yahweh. That's tops in the school. But I want to get other schools set up. More than what we got now, and we're getting teachers now. We're getting a number of women teachers, female teachers, and as well as male teachers that will be under the supervision of the priest, as they are today, and of course, but they will be in charge of certain classes and different ages and different subjects. So soon we'll have it set up to where you can go to a certain classroom, and you can receive top learning on any given field. Yes. They won't all know every prophecy in the Scripture, but they'll be specialists in a prophecy. And we will have enough to cover, yes, 2 billion people. That's no problem. Think of the trillions in the universe that we're going to be covering. We got it figured out. We're going to do it. It's easy. Anyway, push with me in this. Get your children in these classrooms, and us, especially next Sabbath, to learn the songs. This is the start. This is just the start. During the feast, we actually are going to give a gift to these children that they'll cherish the rest of their life. They'll keep this and they'll frame it, and they'll 20,000 years now, or 20 million, they'll show this and they'll say, I got this back when I was in the remnant. Well, this one, it says, Justice Ginsburg to officiate at same-sex wedding. Well, Supreme Court Justice, somehow or another, the word justice just don't go with this, you know? Number one, it's so confusing to the public when they hear this, the untrained public. It's so confusing because they make you think that, well, they've decided that this is right, so do it. It's like deciding, well, we'll let them smoke marijuana now. For years they wouldn't, because they know it's unhealthy. They know the effects of it on the brain. They know it now, but they knew it back then, and they had laws passed against it. Well, now they've changed their mind again. This is about the 1,000th time. Daniel said he looked at today's 4 kingdoms that are ruling the earth, and he said he was so surprised, he was amazed at the amount of laws that they passed. Well, they didn't just pass laws, they'd pass a law, then they'd pass another law to correct that law, and then another to justify that law, supposedly, and they'd have so many laws on this one law that it took a specialist. It's like the doctors, you know, they've got so many sicknesses and diseases today that you don't just have a family doctor. You have thousands of specialists specializing in a single field. One of them, cancer, but not just cancer, but specializing in a certain kind of cancer. Well, how many kinds of cancer can you have? You need to look on the books and see what we've created for ourselves. Not only are we spotting our brains and knocking out the ability for our brains to think, but we're ruining our hearts, our lungs, our kidneys. Every portion of our bodies we're taking down. Why would Satan want to do that to mankind? Because she hates mankind, because she knows the opportunity that he has. She knows what he's going to become. And she doesn't want mankind ruling over her. She wants to rule over mankind. And of course, she's lost her ability to do so now. She's so confused, she's leading the world into some ways that will actually benefit the world, but she doesn't know it. In her hatred for the house of Yahweh, she's actually lifted us up. Well, it's like Justice Ginsburg, to officiate at same-sex wedding. This is certainly beneficial. And it's all tied together now. How would this be tied together with eating butter and honey? And how would it be tied together with solving the problems that we're having, supposedly problems we've created, with Syria. It's all tied together. But the world is not seeing the whole picture. What's causing the wars and hatred is also causing all the curses that we're seeing in the world today. The decision-making that seems to be of little benefit, every decision they make, it's like Yahweh said, you're going to be like you're groping in the dark. You can't find the doorknob to the door. You can't find the match to strike it to light the lamp. Teens, another headline. Teens kill boy, 16 years old, for refusing to pay for their cigarettes. Did you get that idiotic stunt? Teenagers. They kill a boy because he refused to pay for their cigarettes. Beat him to death. Beat him and strangled him to death. People seem to be on a short fuse these days, as 70% of the murders occurring are over minor issues. Well, they're recognizing that something is wrong. At least they've got that far. When Yahweh brings it about to where he shows that the house of Yahweh has the answers, which he is right now. He's bringing this about, and more. There was a family called me this week. The wife actually called me. And she said, I want to tell you something. She said, a few years ago, this would not have occurred. She said, my husband found $50 in the, he's in the store shopping, coming up to a cash register, saw $50 laying on the floor. He takes it promptly and turns it in to the cashier and says, told him to fill out a thing and put his name on it and show that he turned this in to whoever found it. In case they come looking for it, he wants it to get back to the owner. She said, now, on the same day, she came out of the store. There was a sack laying by her car just as she started to get in the car, had $256 in it. And I said, it seems like whoever inspired this must have inspired both of you. She brought the sack home, showed it to her husband, and said, what do you want me to do with this? And he said, what do you want to do with it? She said, I want to take it back and turn it in. And she said, Mr. Hawkins, I wouldn't have done that a few years ago. They are coming to the feast. This feast. No Atlantic hurricane by August. In first time in 11 years. What would cause something like this? Well, of course, global warming, as it's shown here, is tied to this. We tie to it a little more than this, a lot more than this, because it's all tied together. All, every bit of it has to do with the price of eggs in Germany, the conflict in Iran, Iraq, all the nations, including Washington, D.C., the indecisiveness of the decision makers, all of it's tied together with this. A Texan tragedy. Ample oil? Hurt not the oil now, remember this. A Texan tragedy. Speaking of Texas, and a Texan. Ample oil, no water. Frickling boom sucks away precious water from beneath the ground leaving cattle dead, farms bone dry, and people thirsty. And yes, that also has to do with the price of eggs in Japan. Appetite for intervention in Syria. Well, it just so turns out now that 60% of Americans are against it now. I wonder if they could have read something that we put out. It's getting out to them. The newspapers are taking these articles and running with them. The Peaceful Solution, Character Education Incorporated repeats offer to bring a halt to teen violence. Ran by 50,008 newspapers. Praise Yahweh. Pastor of the House of Yahweh publishes detailed article on why almost total destruction is near. 22,390 newspapers ran that newsletter besides us. Latest scientific research proves accurate. The health laws in the Bible would stop all cancer. 25,726 newspapers ran the article. Israel Hawkins writes letter to Al-Qaeda offering a peaceful solution to end the wars. 70,923 newspapers ran that article. Here's the big one. Israel Hawkins writes letter to Pope Francis blasting him for his recent gay comments. Listen, Sister Ginsburg, listen to me. 86,987 newspapers ran that article. That's almost 100,000 newspapers ran that article. Get it and read it, Sister Ginsburg. I know I'm out of time, but I need to cover just a couple more scriptures here. We started out with, is there any such thing as organic honey? The traps to watch out for when buying honey. Sticky notes, are you buying honey or dyed fructose corn syrup? When you buy honey, what are you buying? Is it honey or is it actually dyed corn syrup? Well, most people are dying corn syrup. So if they eat their honey and butter, they probably ate instead honey, butter with blood and corn syrup with dye. So it wouldn't have benefited them any. Never mind organic. When is honey really honey? Let's call him a pollen detective. Von Brian found that 75% of honey on U.S. market shelves contained no pollen. It's called honey. It looks like honey and smells and tastes like honey, but it has no pollen in it. No pollen at all. Having been through an ultra filtration technique perfected by Chinese producers, without pollen, there's no real proof of the country of origin. Pollen acts like the honey DNA, and therefore Brian argues no real proof that the product is legally honey. As opposed to dyed fructose corn syrup, as opposed to dyed fructose corn syrup. Turn over to Isaiah. We make it so easy. Yahweh has made it so easy for us at the house of Yahweh. I think we'll be judged harshly if we don't take advantage of it. But in Isaiah 7, we see a prophecy here, and we see a prophecy of our Savior. We see a prophecy of Assyria, Ephraim, Damascus, and so forth, that came true. And here in verse 15, we see, butter and honey will he eat, so he may know to refuse evil and choose righteousness. If you'll go back to verse 5 here, he says, Aram, Ephraim, and the son of Remaliah have taken evil counsel against you, saying, let us attack Judah. Well, this is what, you know, the kings, the elders of Israel, when they came up to Samuel, they wanted kings. They wanted a king to fight their battle for them. What they wanted was what they set up, and didn't know what they're setting up at the time, because I think they'd been taking a little bit of cocaine and smoking a little bit of marijuana and eating a little bit of pork, so their brains were a little bit indecisive. I mean, so he says, let us attack Judah. Well, what they did, they formed kings. The king would take over a certain colony, a certain province, and then he would become strong, so he would say, well, look, we don't have to work for what we're getting. Let's just go over here and take it from these other people. Well, that's what they set up when they left Yahweh. And Yahweh said, go ahead and do it. These are the Christians that I brought out of Egypt, and they're just going back to what they'd been practicing all the time, because they never really converted to what I wanted them to see. So he said, tell them, warn them, what they're getting into is continual war here. Well, here's part of those wars that Yahweh told them about in 1 Samuel 7 and 8. So they say to one another here, let us attack Judah, Aram, Ephraim, and Remaliah. Says, let us attack Judah and trouble it. Let us tear it apart between us and set that is divided between us. We'll take their wealth. And set the son of Tabeel as king over it. This is what Yahweh, our Father, says. Now, what he's saying, and the reason he says this, in every case, he always let them go their way except when it interfered with his work, his prophecies that was coming to pass. Now, Satan probably knew here that Yeshua was going to be part of this system right here, and she wanted to destroy it. Well, he says, this is what Yahweh our Father says. It will not stand, nor will it come to pass, for the head of Aram, Syria, is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is Rezin. Within 65 years, Ephraim will be broken, no longer a people. There's a prophecy for you. A prophecy that came to pass just as Yahweh said it would. And all history books will tell you the same thing. It came to pass exactly as Yahweh prophesied. The head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is Remaliah. This is a mixed up translation, but later we'll get you the real translation. And it's so complicated you wouldn't believe it, but I want you to see it, so I'll bring that back later and show this to you, how complicated this translation is, and some mistakes were made and so forth, but it does make sense once you see what I'm talking about and see the true translation. But now look on to verse 14. Therefore, Yahweh himself will give you a sign. This is somewhat mistranslated too, and I don't have the latest with me. Behold, a virgin will conceive, speaking of the Savior, of course, and his mother and father, bear a son and will bring forth the sign that Yahweh of hosts is with us, that is, Emmanuel. Butter and honey will he eat. Butter and honey will he eat, that is, Yahshua. So he may know to refuse evil and choose righteousness. But before this child will know to refuse evil, now are you listening to this? Before the child knows. Now, there's a time when a child needs a teacher. You know what age that is? That goes from, I would say, day one until how many million years are you going to live? You're going to always need a teacher. Pretty soon you'll see what I'm talking about when I say specialist in every field. Now, you can become specialist in field, but it would be too much for you to cover if you tried to be a specialist in every field right now. Now, when you get your subconscious mind, what you learn can be brought together better than any computer. And you're going to be a specialist in every one of the fields of prophecy, of law, of everything. You are the teachers. You are the teachers that Yahweh is going to use to resurrect the dead. And you're the teachers that Yahweh is going to use to teach them throughout all eternity. Now, will you be on your own? No. No. Yahshua is going to be over you as King of Kings and Ruler of Rulers, which we will admire and respect throughout all eternity and show that admiration to Him as we're showing admiration to our teachers today. Right? Shake your head. Right? If I could see my dad right now, I would humbly bow to that man. I think you should feel that way about your daddies right now. You should be feeling that way because they are a sign of what you're going to become. They're your teacher. Your mother and your dad are your teachers. They should be greatly admired by you, by the children, greatly admired. As you are going to receive glory, Yahweh says, I'm talking about that right now. That's the glory. You're going to shine like the stars. That is, you're going to receive glory that's unspeakable right now, coming from everywhere. Kings are going to bow down to you, Yahweh says. Kings. Now, that's a position you can hold if you will start obeying Yahweh's laws. The teachers that we're training right now, which is this whole sanctuary, you will become a specialist, and pretty soon you're going to be surprised at how much you've learned once you get the use of that subconscious mind. Well, he says, but behold, before this child will know to refuse evil and choose righteousness, the land, that is, it shows you now that there's a time period when he didn't know this and was being taught and guided by his parents and by the priest. Remember? He's speaking here of Yahshua, who is now our high priest and king over the house of Yahweh. Butter and honey did he eat, so this could take place in his life. Butter and honey. Real butter and real honey. Butter without blood and honey without dye and corn syrup. But before the child will know to refuse evil and choose righteousness, the land that you dread will be forsaken by both her kings. Yada will bring upon you, upon your people, Yahweh will bring upon you, upon your people, that is, he's prophesied that this is going to come upon you from these decision makers here that it's talking about from verse 5 on. They're the ones that's bringing this. Yahweh will bring upon you, that is, he's allowing it to you to bring it on yourselves, upon your people, upon your father's house, such days as have not come since the day that Ephraim departed from Yada, the king of Assyria. Well, I'd like to go on and on and on and just keep going, but then we got a meal to eat. And by the way, that I heard that meal announced this morning, and I got so hungry for that new moon meal. And I tell you, and this morning, it was like this morning when I was looking forward to that Sabbath bread. And I may be 80 years old, but my appetite is that of a child, I can tell you for sure. Well, they told me this morning the first thing, act your age. So I'm acting my age. I'm hungry. May Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the services back to the next leader. I love you.